so you can make an announcement.
This is the CCNSO Members Day meeting, day one, on October 14th, 2014, from 8:30 to 6 p.m. in the West Side Room.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to ICANN 51 and the first day of the CCNSO meetings. Thank you, everybody here, for remembering that we had a slightly earlier start than normal. So congratulations to you. I know at least you folks read the materials. Thank you for that. We have a very full agenda over the next couple of days, hence the slightly early start. And I'm going to pass it over in a moment to Katrina to walk us through some of the key parts of that agenda. But before we do that, I did just want to remind us that we have our usual visits to the board and to the GAC this morning. The ICANN board, or the meeting with the ICANN board, is in the Los Angeles room, which is one floor down. So as seems to be customary, we have a bit of a trek to get there, and that's at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, after the coffee break, we'll be meeting with the GAC. Fortunately, those rooms are actually beside each other, so we can have a bit of a coffee break in between them and don't have to travel far between those two. The GAC is actually in the Santa Monica room, also downstairs. And for those of you who think or may have noticed, they were previously in the tent outside. I guess those accommodations were not to their liking, so they seem to have moved downstairs into the Santa Monica room. And ironically, of course, kicked the registrars out of the room, and the registrars are now in the tent, so I'm... where they so richly deserve to be, I'm sure. Anyways... On the outside looking in, I mean, we could go on, I'm sure. And anyway, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Katrina and the Program Working Group have certainly done the heavy lifting on the program and have put together, I think, a packed agenda, but also one that's going to be very interesting and help us sort through some of the big issues that we as a community and we as the ICANN community are facing. And with that, I'll pass it over to Katrina to give us a little more detail.
Thank you, Byron. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of our meeting program working group, I'd like to welcome you all here. Happy to see your faces, and I see that you're happy to be here and willing to participate in this event. So, as usually, we have reports, updates, discussions, and, of course, CCNSO cocktail. And we'll start today. Why we start so early? Because, finally, the final report and framework of Interpretation Working Group is out. And I like these pictures because guys look very young here. That's how they looked. That's how they looked when they started the work on... But the work is done, and they are happy to share with us the results. They are already here waiting, eagerly waiting to do that. But before that, I'd like to use the opportunity to thank everyone who was on the group, because their work was really hard. And we're all very thankful that they went through that. Then, of course, we will talk about internet governance. After meeting with ICANN Board and GAC, we'll have a separate session dedicated to these issues. Samantha Dickinson will walk us through the current development, current status quo of the entire thing, which is really very hard to comprehend. Then Yanis Karklinch will tell us about internet governance and some future of internet governance, and Staffan Jonsson will talk about Plenipot. Use the opportunity, be here, ask your questions. Today we also have another session when we'll have time for discussion. That's what people usually ask for. In your feedback, you ask, give us more time for discussion. So this is the moment when we come together and start discussing. We'll talk about IANA stewardship transfer and icon accountability, and the idea of this session is to give you insight into these issues, to give you food for thought, so that you can think about it, you can discuss it tonight during cocktail and during music night, and tomorrow we'll have another session, another discussion, something more concrete, more to the point. And tomorrow's discussion will be led by Byron and Rolf. We'll give you more information about participants later, because we're still working with them. Today also we'll have a questions and answers session, which will be chaired by Leslie. And the idea here is to ask your questions and to choose the best people to represent you on the council and on the ICANN board. So be ruthless, ask your questions. So just grill these people, maybe not the European one, but all the others, grill them and make sure they give you what you want. Tonight we have coming together to CCNSL cocktail. It's really very close to the meeting venue. When you go out of the venue, turn right, and on your right side you'll see Hinoki and the Bird restaurant. So you're all welcome. Every CCNSL member, non-member, any CCTLD representative here is welcome to the cocktail. And it, of course, we'll have to thank our generous sponsor, Newstar, for making this possible. So welcome to the CCNSO. Enjoy these 2 days of sessions, discussions, and presentations. And please give us your feedback. Don't forget to fill in a satisfaction survey. We'll send you after the meeting days, because we really need to know what you want to discuss, what you want to hear, and how you want us to proceed. Thank you, and have a nice 2 days of meetings. And with that, Keith and Bernie will start.
Thank you, Katrina. Good morning, everybody. My name's Keith Davidson. We have this session for the next approximate hour, and then we're going on to the joint meeting with the board, and then the joint meeting with the GAC, and then we're resuming on this session if we need to for an extra half hour prior to lunch today. So this is the Framework of Interpretations Working Group's presentation of its final interim report. This is really, hopefully, your last opportunity to review the output of this working group and make any comments along the way. The purpose is that we want your approval. We want CCTLD approval of this interim report, so when we present to the GAC, we are saying this is pretty much the final report, or we have agreed that this is our version of the final report, subject to your final input. So be ready with your cards later, and be prepared to comfort yourself that this is the final version of this report. Just on that topic, just reminding you all that the measurement of the recommendations is, are they in scope? Are they within the scope of the working group's mandate and charter? Be careful to assure yourselves that we haven't invented policy along the way, because this was not a policy development process. It is merely the interpretation of existing policies and guidelines. So this is measuring to see that it was within that scope as well. And this is not a question of whether you agree with the existing policies or guidelines at all. This is a question of whether the interpretations are accurate representations of those policies and guidelines. So that's the careful criteria. So if you disagree with one of the policy statements, then we then have to go through a policy development process to alter that. So that's a different animal. This working group's role was purely to develop depth and colour around existing policies and guidelines. So with that, I'll hand over to Bernie to walk us through the final recommendations and report. Bernie, it's all yours.
Thank you, sir. Morning, everyone. Thank you for coming in for an early start on what essentially, given the other presentations we've given you, should be very few surprises, if any. But given there may be some new people in the room, we're going to walk through the whole thing. Next slide. So our outline is we'll give you a status of where we are. We'll give you the highlights of our interpretations, the final report recommendations, our next steps, and then we'll do a quick review of all the great participants we had that worked for the number of years that it required to get this job done. Next slide. Status, where are we? Well, the FOI Working Group has published a report on consent, has published a report on significantly interested party, has published a report on revocation, and has published this draft final report. The FOI Working Group considers its interpretation work completed. Next slide. Final report highlights, or the greatest hits from the FOI Working Group. I think one of the key things that's important to remember is that RFC 1591 only identifies three mechanisms available to the IANA operator to assign or modify the management responsibility for a CCTLD. That's it. There's delegation, there's transfer, and there's revocation. There is no other option. And if you've been around for a while, that may actually rub a little differently. What we finished interpreting also is we said other mechanisms may be available to the stakeholder community under applicable domestic law. However, those mechanisms might not be practically available to the IANA operator. So we're very clear, we're not trying to substitute ourselves for national law, for other legal mechanisms that are out there. But in the absence of other rules, your base set based on 1591 is these interpretations. Next slide, please. Delegation. We thought it was important to actually run through it and actually give definitions, because when we started the work, one of the things that was interesting is that everyone knows it's delegation, but what does it actually mean? And when we started drilling down, people had varying interpretations of what delegation could mean or meant or should mean. So we wrote it down. The FOI Working Group interprets delegation to mean the process by which the IANA operator initially assigns management responsibility or assigns previously assigned responsibility after a revocation for the management of a CCTLD. So now we all have a common reference point what delegation means. Next slide, please. Transfer. The FOI Working Group interprets the term transfer to refer to the process by which the IANA operator transfers responsibility from an incumbent manager to a new manager with the consent of both parties. Now, we will talk about redelegation and what that means in a few minutes. But if you go through the policy document, the term that actually exists in there is transfer. There is no redelegation. The FOI further interprets Section 3.6 of 1591 to require the IANA operator only to seek consent for a transfer request from the incumbent manager and the proposed manager. The IANA operator should not seek consent from the administrative or technical contacts. For those that have been around, we will remember the documentation and the requirements that it be the administrative and technical contacts from a historical point of view that approve transfers. So, slight variation there. Next slide, please. Revocation. The FOI working group interprets the term revocation to refer to the process by which the IANA operator rescinds responsibility for management of a CCTLD from an incumbent manager. So, yes, this is the nuclear option. It goes away, and it's got all the baggage associated that we can think about, in that when you are talking about revocation, it doesn't necessarily mean that the data is going to follow along. The database is the operator's data. What IANA manages is the assignment of the CCTLD itself. So, Section 3.5 of 1591 explicitly contemplates revocation in appropriate cases involving persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. So, if you go through 1591, there is actually very clearly stated that if there are problems with the proper operation of a domain, IANA can revoke. The FOI working group interpret 1591 to permit the IANA operator to revoke a CCTLD delegation in appropriate circumstances where the manager has substantially misbehaved. So, there's sort of the technical side is the thing working properly, and then there's substantial misbehavior. And that's a really long discussion, which I will not subject you to this morning. However, if you are interested in that, please read it in the report. We probably spent the bulk of our time, once we got our cruising speed going, really hammering out the details of this thing. It is critical, it's long, it's detailed, but it was necessary. All right, one of the things we're proposing as we define terminology explicitly so that we all refer to the same things the same way is that we're proposing that redelegation should no longer be used. We're uncertain where the term popped up. We couldn't actually find it in any formal policy document. The thing that does exist is a transfer. And a transfer requires the consent of both the incumbent operator and the new operator. And we're going to talk about what consent means. Also, there is absolutely no basis for an unconsented redelegation. I mean, the term redelegation doesn't exist, and the notion of an unconsented redelegation is even further out there. So what we would like the community to think about using is no longer use redelegation, it's a transfer. And there's no such thing as an unconsented redelegation. There will be a revocation followed by a delegation. Next slide, please. Now, consent. What does that mean? As we know from the DRD working group, the definition of consent has been, over the years, interpreted in a variety of ways. And I believe one of the main objectives of the FOI working group for the CCNSO was to clear this up. The fact that it seems that the interpretation of consent has been highly variable over the years and sometimes between circumstances was of significant concern to our community. So, again, as per the terms of what does delegation mean, what does transfer mean, we've hammered it out. The FOI working group further interprets Section 3.6 of RFC 1591 regarding agreement to the transfer as requiring The communication from the IANA operator requesting a party's consent should clearly state, A, what the party is being asked to agree to, and B, what steps the IANA operator will or may take in response to the party's, one, affirmative consent, two, affirmative refusal to consent, and three, failure to respond to the communication requesting consent. It doesn't stop there. Next slide. The IANA operator needs to establish and publish a procedure by which it will request a party's consent. The information that will be provided by the IANA operator in connection with such requests and the manner in which it will receive and document the party's response to such requests. So we're essentially asking IANA to not only settle on a very clear definition of what consent means, but we're asking them to publish that and publish how they're going to deal with that in the case of transfers. Next slide, please. The process used by the IANA operator should create a formal record reflecting who provided the consent or other response, the status of the person providing the consent or response, and should demonstrate that a party's consent to a redelegation is clear, informed, unambiguous, affirmatively expressed, and freely given, as each of those terms are defined. So I think we've drawn a fairly tight box around that, and we're hoping that this will help clear up any misunderstandings in the context of transfers. Finally, the IANA operator itself must be perfectly neutral and should not attempt to compel, threaten, or persuade the party to approve a request. Again, I think we've drawn the box fairly clearly. So, this is consent. Next slide. SIP. What we have noticed for those who haven't been following us too closely, you have seen this in a variety of flavors over the years. If you've gone through the IANA reports, it has been significantly interested parties, it has been the local internet community, it has been this, it has been that. Very dynamic definition. So, again, we've decided to settle it down. From an RFC 1591 perspective, it's not local internet community, it's significantly interested parties, full stop. To be considered a significantly interested party, any party other than the manager or the government or territorial authority for the country or territory associated with the CCTLD must demonstrate that a direct, material, and legitimate interest in the operation of the CCTLD. So we've clearly set the bar a little higher, and there's a number of reasons for that. There were some definitions in some of the IANA documentation. Again, it was variable. We thought that given that the significantly interested parties do have a clear say in selecting a manager, that as a minimum we should define a framework around that to ensure the people who are commenting as significantly interested parties are qualified to be heard as that, because their input should matter. So it's a balancing act, if you will. Next slide. Still on SIP, the FOI working group interprets the requirement for approval from significantly interested parties to require applicants to provide documentation of support by stakeholders and for the IANA operator to evaluate and document this input for delegations and transfers. So we're sort of drawing the line in the sand. This is what it says, and this is how we interpret what it should mean if you're going to do that. Next slide, please. IANA reports on delegations and transfers should reflect consistent application of these FOI working group interpretations and should include the detailed results of the IANA operator's evaluation of stakeholder input regarding the requested action. Now, We will save you the ancient history lesson, but as many of you will know, from a historical perspective, the data has sometimes been highly variable in some of the IANA reports. And what we're looking for is to ensure that there is going forward, and I would like to state at this point, we're looking at the entire career of IANA reports. We're not picking on IANA reports from yesterday or from last year. Things have changed dramatically. But when you look at the whole scope of IANA reports and you actually analyze them in detail, which is what we did for the DRDWG, which was the precursor to the FOI, I mean, the point is there was a lot of variation. We're trying to just settle that down. Next slide. Final report, admin contact. The FOI working group interprets the requirement that there be an administrative and technical contact for each domain, including for CCTLDs, an administrative contact residing in the country to mean as a general rule that the manager must confirm and the IANA operator must be able to validate that the administrative contact resides in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD. Now, there have been a variety of discussions about these things. Let's just leave it at that. There's a few important notes to this. This is to establish a clear intention from IRFC 1591 that there be a local in-country or territory presence. Two, the FOI recognizes that there may be extenuating circumstances where it is impractical or even impossible for the administrative contact to reside in the country or territory. CCTLDs that represent territories without permanent population will, by definition, not be able to meet the requirement. If the given island only has penguins, unfortunately, penguins are not allowed to be the admin contact. The requirement for an in-country administrative contact did not appear before 1994, when it was first introduced by RFC 1591. Let's not forget, there were CCTLDs before RFC 1591. Therefore, this requirement may not be expected of CCTLDs established or last transferred before the publication of RFC 1591, the grandfather clause. All right, next slide. Trustee, yes, if you actually go through RFC 1591, you will see that a CCTLD manager is expected to be a trustee. Now, what does that mean? The FOI working group interprets the requirement that the manager serves as a trustee for the delegated domain, with a duty to serve the nation, in the case of a country code, and the global internet community to require the manager to, next slide, drum roll please, provide mechanisms to allow for registrants and significantly interested parties to provide input regarding registration policies to the manager. Two, to preserve the security and stability of the CCTLD. Three, to work with the IANA operator to preserve the stability and security of the global DNS and internet. So, again, we've drawn a very clear frame around what a term means. Trustee means this. And when we started this discussion, I mean, if you go to the legal definition of trustee, it's another thing completely. And actually, in the final report, we actually note that this is not a common law definition of trustee. So we've actually put the frame around it. This is what it means. Next slide, please. Another wonderful word is equitable. The FOI working group interprets the requirement that the manager be equitable to all groups in the domain as obligating the manager to make its registration policies accessible and understandable to prospective applicants, and to apply these policies in an impartial manner, treating similarly situated would-be registrants in the same manner. Same philosophy here. A term, we've drawn a frame around it. This is what it means. Next slide, please. Those are the highlights, and now we get into the recommendations, and they're fairly straightforward. Regarding consent, significantly interested parties, and unconsented redelegations, hopefully a term we will not use anymore, / revocation, the IANA operator should adopt and implement the interpretations of RFC 1591 provided by the Framework of Interpretation Working Group as presented in this document. No surprises there. Next slide. Regarding IANA adoption and implementation of the FOI interpretations, the CCNSO Council should consider a methodology to collaborate with IANA to develop content and other tools to educate and inform stakeholders about IANA's processes and procedures that are consistent with the FOI working group interpretations. So, basically, no one's expecting that this is going to magically change overnight. There, some of the things that are proposed here are, as a minimum, important changes. And so I think it's our responsibility to see how we can work with the IANA so that everyone gets a better understanding about how we envisage this thing to move forward. Next slide, please. I think this is a fairly key one for everyone. I don't think we spend a lot of time on this one because it was completely obvious to everyone. The IANA operator should continue to publish a public report on each CCTLD delegation, transfer, and revocation it completes. These reports should be published in a timely fashion, clearly identify the parties involved, describe its decision-making process and the facts relevant to its decision, including information that addresses all relevant aspects of the framework of interpretation recommendations. Often, the only real historical trace we have of those actions by IANA of any depth is the IANA report. And sometimes they're just great, and they have a great value at the minimum to inform the community about how and why things went on. Unfortunately, that has not, and I quote again from a historical point of view, always been the case. Sometimes, you know, one would expect that one might get a little bit more information from board minutes. That has not been the case either. Sometimes the text from the board minutes is quite long, but actually says absolutely nothing. So I think what we're asking for here is consistency and information. I don't think it's very useful to cut and paste the same standard text from one action to the next just to fill up space. I think what's more of concern and interest to everyone is to understand who asked for what, who approved what was the process to actually make the decision, and then what happened. So, quite important for us. Next slide, please. Next steps. All right, we've done this. What are we doing next? And I think for that, I'll hand it over to Keith.
Thank you, Benny. And our next steps, this is the final draft. So this may be the last occasion for CCTLD members or CCNSO members to indicate their support or otherwise for the framework. The framework will go to the... if we gain your support today, we will submit the report as a draft final report to the council meeting tomorrow afternoon for their interim approval, and then submit it to the GAC for any further comments from the GAC. There has been a, you know, it seems like we've been in the home straight on this framework for some time now, but we really came unstuck with our GAC relationship when Frank March, who was the New Zealand GAC representative, had been taking the lead on this work, but he retired after the March meeting this year in Singapore, and the GAC have not appointed someone to follow it closely since or take the lead on it since. The other main participant in the GAC has been Suzanne from the US government, and of course she is in a state of conflict with the IANA transition and the US government's role in that, so she hasn't been able to take the lead, and I think that's quite appropriate in that regard. So what we're seeking to do with the GAC here is to find someone, or we've asked the GAC to find someone to take the lead within the GAC, and therefore we've got a bit more home stretch to go, in as much as the GAC could provide some comments back to the CCNSO. But our hope is that we can get the final approval at the next ICANN meeting. If the GAC don't have any comments, then there would be no reason to come back to CCNSO membership. The interim final report should be able to be stamped by the CCNSO Council at the next meeting. So this is your last opportunity, potentially, for input. If the GAC come back and have substantial changes required, it will probably need to be referred back to the working group, further draft changes, and then it may go through another iteration of approval if the changes are substantial. Now, remember, the intention always with this report was that if the GAC and the CCNSO can both give their approval, we can jointly provide the framework to the ICANN board, and it becomes binding on the ICANN board primarily because the GAC's advice to the ICANN board is binding on the board. So this was to avoid us having to go through a policy development process for what was not a development of policy. So we remain hopeful that this can be a collaborative effort between the GAC and the CCNSO. So with that, are there any questions? Are there any comments? Stunned silence. Some microphones. Can you?
Hi, Chris Lahat. I'm the ICANN Ombudsman. I don't often come to the CCNSO meetings, but I thought it was appropriate in this case because this clarification that we're talking about has got a number of steps where I could foreseeably have complaints coming into my office. Some of the decisions which are made are controversial and are matters which I could review. So I'm taking this opportunity just to introduce myself to those CCNSO members who haven't met me before and remind them that the Ombudsman's Office is also available to the CCNSO community who haven't been frequent visitors to my office but can do so if in the process of revocation or delegation or transfer there are some issues of unfairness or delay, then I am available to assist with that process. That's all I wanted to say, Keith. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Over to Leslie, Bart. And just on that topic, I guess the hope is that by having the framework, there is less opportunity for complaints or as the results should be more predictable and consistent as they happen. Noted nonetheless. We're trying to reduce your workload, not increase it. Leslie.
Thanks, Keith. Leslie Kelly, CCNSO Council. I'm just a bit concerned about the GAC because I guess from my perspective it doesn't feel as though the GAC have been as engaged as they might have been. Obviously their attention has been elsewhere often during this whole process. And the group have done some fantastic work, but I was concerned, you know, when Frank wasn't able to participate further. What do you think the likelihood is of the GAC just signing this off? Because I'm not known for my optimism, but I suspect they won't just sign it off. Do we have any early indications of areas where they might want to discuss this further? Or are you confident that they have been engaged enough during the period to just sign it through?
Well, yeah, great question, Leslie. It's really difficult to know. The GAC play their cards fairly close, and they appear to often be distracted by shiny objects, and that certainly has been a cause of the rocky road along the way. I'm a supreme optimist, so I've got some optimism, particularly after discussions in recent days with various GAC members, that we can get to the finish line, and I think we're extending our run in the home straight to try our best to accommodate the foibles within the GAC. I don't know how much of a wager you might want to put on it, but I'd put a dollar down on it.
Yes, Peter van Roster from Centre has a question. He says, thank you for the hard work and the useful update. Can you please elaborate on the exclusion of governments from the definition of significantly interested parties? Can you please elaborate on the exclusion of governments from the definition of significantly interested parties?
They're not excluded. They're automatically included. Is if you go through the text, what it means is they do not have to prove that they are a significantly interested party. They are automatically a significantly interested party in any delegation or transfer.
Hi, Elise Garrick, IANA Functions Operator. I want to congratulate the CCNSO on the Framework of Interpretation Working Group work. I do have a question on clarification, since we will have to implement this when you all pass it at some point in time. You've mentioned early on that revocation rescinds the management of a domain, but it doesn't have anything to do with the content. Could you clarify if that means, say, I'm operating .us and the revocation of .us is taken away, you know, you revoke it from me, do I get to hold all the second level domains that I've registered in that? Is that the content? Or does the revocation mean that that content should be transferred to the new manager of .us? That's just an example. I don't run .s. U.S.
That's a very good question. Thank you, Elise. And we don't know the answer to that question. There's no clarity from RFC 1591 or the GAC principles in terms of the ownership of the data within the CCTLD. So the term revocation refers to the IANA database entry only for that CCTLD. It doesn't refer to anything greater than that.
So wouldn't that be inconsistent, though, with the end of the presentation where you mention what the goals of all the definitions are is to maintain the stability of the global internet, which would include the stability of those people who've been managing second-level domains and operating them through their companies? So I'm just concerned that we may be ignoring the users of the domains in the revocation by saying we don't come up with a way to try to smooth the transition from one manager to another. I'm asking for clarification. I'm not espousing my own personal views here.
As we said, these are the highlights. If we go through the report, that in detail, there are several elements under revocation, which actually deal with some of the concerns you're talking about. I think if we look at it historically, there have been cases where they were, quote, unconsented redelegations, but there was no data. So there are a lot of different cases which can happen, but I don't think this has been ignored, and I think there are several elements under the revocation section which sort of provide some guidance, if not complete guidance relative to that. But I think we want to point out that, yes, in our interpretation, the primary concern for IANA is the stability, and that overrides clearly a need for a change at that level.
So I appreciate your response. I'm just, as an operator, though, I want to mention that if you leave orphan domains out there, you know, if I'm elise.us and I've revoked, the IANA operator has followed this guidance and revokes the manager of .us, and you've left a whole bunch of orphan domains out there, I hope that the committee will take that into consideration for their interpretation, because you're offering guidance to the IANA functions operator on how we should deal with this, because otherwise we'll have more historical information about how the IANA functions operator didn't do what they should have done.
Point noted. Thanks, Elise. Nigel.
Nigel Roberts, CCNSO Council member and member of the FOI Working Group. I just want to follow up on the last two speakers, and interestingly enough, there's a common thread. The Framework of Interpretation Working Group was working on interpretation, that's construction of existing policy. Nothing we have done, and in fact we've been very, very careful, and it's been very tempting on occasions to try and slip into creative interpretation, in other words, policy making. So from Leslie's point of view or question, I think I'm extremely optimistic about the reaction of the GAC and, in fact, any other significantly interested parties in this, because we have spent a lot of time interpreting the words that we have in front of us from both the binding policy, RSC 1591, and the guidance, which is the GAC principles. So if somebody wishes to go against our interpretation, at the very minimum, they have to offer a credible alternative interpretation. And because of the diversity of opinion, the diversity of membership of the working group, I'm pretty confident that in 99% of cases, what we've done is the meaning of the existing policy. And the same thing applies from the point of view of Elise saying that she looks forward to implementing this once it's been approved. Well, I have to take a little bit of issue with this, because the existing policy binds ICANN IANA right now. And if you want to do something different from what the considered interpretation is, even if it's only in draft form right now, again, you must put forward a credible and comprehensive alternative to the way we're looking at things, because this policy is in operation right now and has been since 1994. So it's not optional. It's not that we're putting in new policy. This is existing policy. We're just saying in a bit more detail what we think it means. And so we can't really talk about transfers of intellectual property in terms of the second level zone files, because RFC 1591 didn't cover that, and that would be something for PDP or negotiation between whoever owned the zone file at the time. That's out of scope for what we did. Hope that's some useful comments.
Thanks, Nigel. And yeah, I think the odds have gone up to 2-1, Leslie. Yes, I think over to Jay, and then.
No, yeah. She was first.
Oh, sorry. Bart's correcting me on the queue. So, Annabeth.
Annabeth Lang, .no. I would like to follow up on Leslie's question and also what Nigel said and my experience with the GAC from my former life, that the most important thing now, in my view, is to get the GAC on board. And those who are sitting in this working group are really, you've worked with it so long that it's important to get new readers, if they haven't really followed the process, to interpret it in the same way as you did. Is it as clear as you think it is? And it's important to tell the GAC that this is not new policy, it's an interpretation of what's existing today. And also, especially in connection with the revocation, I have heard some fears that we are the way they, it's explained in the paper gives a little uncertainty on when Ayana can revoke. So it should be very clear that it's only when it's global stability at stake, security, robustness, those kind of things, and they are really interested in finding that the rest is local. It's local responsibility. Even if it's a kind of a misbehavior, you should try to find other ways before that should be really the last resort. So just a little hands up when you're explaining this to the GAC. This morning I heard Erno Storm from Norway say in a meeting with between CCs and a European meeting that he is willing to present this for the GAC, so he's on board and will try to explain.
The odds just keep on increasing. Thank you, Annabeth. I think just one issue, though, one reservation I have with the GAC has been some opposition from some individual GAC members that has been that they've brought to me on occasions has been because those GAC members want the framework to create policy for them to deal with their recalcitrant CCTLD. So they've been hoping that we will create some policy on the fly to help them, and they have sort of suggested some resistance to the framework because it's not doing that. So all I can do in those instances is say, well, that's beyond the scope. If you want us to undertake policy development on certain issues relating to delegations and revocations and transfers, then bring them up with us and we'll entertain the idea of a policy development process. But that's not the purpose of this working group and it's out of scope. So taking that in mind. Now to Jay.
Thank you. Jay Daly from .nz. As we know, some revocation and transfer processes take a very long time to complete. What transparency do you envisage us having during those processes?
I think this is one of the interesting points as we were working through this. We're interpreting policy. What you're talking about is process. That is IANA's, how they consult with the community about how they're going to present this is a process question. We're not here to do process. That wasn't our thing at all. And we should not be doing that for IANA. That's actually a very bad thing for us to be doing because we don't understand their constraints from an operational point of view or that. It doesn't mean the community can't talk to IANA about that, or IANA can't talk to the community about how it will evolve its processes for dealing with this, but that's beyond our scope, as far as I'm concerned.
Christina, online.
Yeah, I have a message from Becky Burr, who would like to express her apologies for not attending the meeting in person, and as well as all the appreciation for all the hard work of the FOI working group members.
Okay, noting Becky has been the vice chair of this group and often stood in for me, I think we can accept the apology given the medical grounds that she's absent on. And I think also, I forgot earlier, Bill Semich, who has been a fairly active member of the working group, has indicated his support for the final report and his apologies for being unable to make it. Hero, and then over here.
Hero from the JP. Thank you very much. In the final report, the section 5.1 says that the FOIWG interprets the requirement for approval from SIP to require applicants to provide documentation of support by stakeholders, and so on. So does this mean that the government should issue a tangible document of support of the delegation or transfer?
Short answer, yes, and long answer, not just the government, but maybe the computer society and the, you know, university computer clubs and things like that. So that there's a measure of support. One of the concepts that IANA might entertain is having some form of feedback loop on its website so it flags that this is happening and that support or otherwise for the revocation and transfer could be done online and therefore not requiring people to go into posting letters and so on. So, yes.
David Curtin from the IE Domain Registry, looking after .ie. Can I add my congratulations and thanks to the committee, first of all, for the excellent work over 3 very long years. You've been remarkably patient and going through painstakingly through the detail. Can I suggest an addition to the next steps? And that is to ask IANA to correct the kind of drift that has occurred on their website in relation to delegation, redelegation. From Ireland's point of view, the use of the term sponsoring organisation has caused us particular problems. So if the IANA website could kind of acknowledge that it has drifted over the years, and even its TLD modification template, you know, the very third, fourth line is asking for details of the sponsoring organisation. So if you could add that line into the process, I think that would help the GAC approval, because I can say from Ireland's point of view, government looking at things like sponsoring organisation wasn't very helpful. Thank you.
That is a topic that we spent some time talking about in the working group, and I thought we had agreed that in the working group that sponsoring organisation was a totally inappropriate term, and we have recommended replacement term, or
we were looking forward to put it in a glossary that really, as with some of the other terms, we just don't understand where sponsorship organization came from the policies that apply to our universe, and really it should be manager. That's what we're referring, and only using manager all the way through.
Yes, I understand. But if IANA could reflect that now on its own website, then GAC members could look at the website and see that the drift has corrected. And I think it would make the acceptance and approval of the document much faster. Like at the moment on the website, the ILD TLD modification template 2010-02-17 is still asking for information on sponsoring organisations. So,
okay.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to make that comment.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a bit chicken and egg in a way. The final report needs to have its endorsement before we can work with IANA on its implementation.
I just want to respond to that. I know Nigel said earlier there's nothing for the IANA functions operator to implement. These are the kinds of implementation that we're waiting for the document to be approved, because there's been long precedent of using terminology, as you say, drifted, but we're waiting for the CCNSO to give us their framework of interpretation report, at which point we'll implement mostly, from what I can see, language changes. You know, the word revocation and transfer instead of redelegation, things of that nature are all wording changes, even though they do have some underlying concept changes. And same thing with sponsoring organization manager. So we take your point, but it is the chicken and an egg.
Thank you, Elise, for the clarification. Any other comments, questions, observations? If not, gosh, we're really... if there are no other comments or questions, can we move to the cards and... Oh, okay. So be ready with your cards. You know, it would be really nice to have some support for the framework, but how do the members feel? A green card might indicate your acceptance of the framework of interpretation. The orange, you still are not quite sure and you might feel that it needs more work, and a red means you don't like it and we should start again. So can I have a show of cards or hands if you don't have cards? Green? Are there any orange? Any red? I think we can note that in the record as being unanimous agreement for the framework. So thank you very much. And my sincere thanks to all the members of the working group who have worked through this. We have met so frequently. It's been about once every 2 weeks intersessionally between ICANN meetings. So for those people who've had the tenacity and perseverance to often be on calls from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. and so on, thank you very much. We've got to hopefully the very last stages of this long race. Thank you. With that, we can relinquish the floor back to Katrina or Byron, and we'll give you back this half hour and a further half hour later in this morning's agenda. So thank you all very much.
Can we leave things here? Well, this was an unexpected gift from FOI people. We got 25 minutes before we have a meeting with the board, and I could sing a song, perhaps. But yeah, okay. Yes. So then, a couple of announcements. Then, as I already mentioned, we have CCNSO cocktail tonight, and here. Gabi has beautiful cards. These are not invitations. Again, if you don't have a card, you still can go. Yeah, there are no tickets. There is an invitation. Invitation with the full information about the event, how to get there, when it starts, how long it's going to last, and who is the generous sponsor of the event. So Gabi has all the invitations. So please pick your invitation and enjoy the evening. Byron, I once shared the load of extra minutes with you. Would you like to comment on anything? Thank you. Thank you very much. yes. In that case, I'll just go back to my highlights and to those who were not here and could not did not hear the highlights in the morning. So for the first, not for the first time, every time we have these questions and answers session with our nominees, especially before elections, when you have to make a choice who you want to support during the election. This time we do not have elections at all, because in each region we have only one nominee who has been seconded. But still we have questions and answers session scheduled for today. And we sent several invitations to the community to ask your questions. Ask the questions you'd like to hear the answers to from your potential representatives, maybe your current and potential future representatives on the CCNSO Council. What would you like them to do? What would you like to know, perhaps, about the candidates, about their work on CCNSO, about the CCNSO? Same goes to regarding the board nominee. Again, we have one board nominee, Mike Zilber, who already represents us for several years on the ICON board, and he does a great job. But still, maybe you have some questions. Maybe you want some specific aspects of his work being improved. So please don't be shy. You can ask your questions directly during the session. We'll have microphones. If you are shy and don't want to ask your question, you can send your question to the CCNSO Secretariat email, or you can talk to Leslie, because Leslie is ready to grill the candidates and ask all the questions you want to ask. So you can do it now, or you can use the coffee breaks before the session. So apparently now I see that Leslie is already receiving some guidance from Stian. So just use the opportunity to ask your questions. This is about tomorrow. Today, maybe I'll elaborate more on this session. We have we'll start with some short reports from our representatives on accountability working group, Jordan, and ICG working group, Martin. Other members of those working groups are also welcome, and I hope they will be present in the room. They will participate in the discussion. We also will have Teresa Swinehart from ICANN. She will give an update on the changes of this accountability process. I hope that Keith wants to say something more.
Thank you. Katrina, we just noticed looking at the meeting schedule that the ICANN board meeting is the joint meeting with the CCNSO is marked as 9:45 in 5 minutes' time, rather than on our schedule at 10 o'clock. So I don't know whether we want to move at 9:45 like now or not.
Thank you for noting that. We'll try to find out. We'll try to find out and inform you very shortly. Thank you very much, Keith. And I hope that, if you have a look at the schedule, we'll have another framework of interpretation group presentation right after the meeting. Yes, we do. You asked for that. Tonight they changed. Okay. So we must go now. Yes, yes, they did change it, so we have to go now. Thank you for being with us, and please reconvene after the meetings.